debated back and forth, and I finally settled on the New International Version for the scripture instead of the Common English Bible. It's the wonderful thing about the scriptures, is you can read it in so many different versions and translations and find something in each one that can speak to your heart and that can allow God to speak to you. Reading from Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 1, verse 10, and then from Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Not that you shouldn't read the whole the whole thing, but that's what we will share this morning. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And then the closing of the book. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our ears, our total being to the Holy Spirit, that as you move around among us and through us at this time, that each of us will be equipped. Each of us will hear something, feel something, know something that you have for us. And gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for all that you're going to do. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one needs only to pick up the Bible to find out that there's a big difference in the numbers and the weight of the Old Testament and of the New. This is the 31st, or rather the 21st of the 31 lessons in the story. And we are just completing the Old Testament and preparing to make that transition into the New. Now, messianic prophecies have come before, with Isaiah and so many, even back in Moses, there were those things that pointed to Christ, to the Messiah. But here we stand on the berm, or on the brim, if you will, ready to make that leap into the New Testament and to this new way in which God is dealing with us. Indeed, as we read the Old Testament, we are called to read it with an eye towards the new. For as Jesus preached and proclaimed, and as John, who preceded him, Paul, who came after him, and others, The Old Testament is what they had. And they found in that the Lord Jesus. They found in that all that God had for us to come. And how our lives needed to be constructed. How they needed to be lived out. So that God might bless us and live among us. As God desires to do. Like so many of the prophets before him, Malachi is frustrated. Frustrated by the lifestyles that are being lived by those around him. Most likely, Malachi came back to the land, the Holy Land, if you will, to Palestine, with one of several waves of exiles returning to the land. It's believed that he probably returned in one of the later waves, after the work of Ezra and Nehemiah in the construction and the blessing of the temple, the construction of the walls around Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah. But he stands as one who reminds us so emphatically what John became aware of, and what Jesus was so much aware of, that this forerunner of the Messiah, the one who would point our hearts to God, and the one who would point hearts toward the one who was coming to point our hearts toward God, was coming on the scene. Now, it wouldn't come for several centuries. And by the time Jesus came, there were few people who were expecting, even though they hoped, and the hope was always there, that the Messiah would come. Of course, they were looking for a conquering Messiah, one who would bring glory and restoration to Israel, one that would elevate them among all the nations of the world and give them their rightful place as a leader of nations. They didn't realize that God was calling them to something much greater than that. That God was calling them to prepare the nations of the world, and not just this little segment or this little nation, to learn to live in fellowship with the Lord God. Jesus had to point that. Paul reminds us of that. But Malachi gives us that hint. And yet Malachi, even as John the Baptist, whom he points to, seems to have had the first coming and the second coming kind of pushed a little bit closer together than was the way that it's playing out. Somehow, both Malachi and John have it the middle kind of missing, as both Malachi and John the Baptist remind us of the judgment of God, remind us that the one who is coming will hold us accountable that God is calling us to accountable living, calling us to live lives that are yielded and acceptable to the Lord God. He challenges the worship. Apparently, a laxness had come in bringing the offerings, the tithes, in to the temple. That people were instead using what belonged to God for themselves. Malachi suggests that one of the reasons that things are not going well for them is that they are not honoring God. That they are not giving God God's due and God's expectation of us in the way that we live our lives, in the relationships with one another, and in the relationship with our resources. And lest we get all excited and say, well, wait a minute, Jesus didn't talk about tithing. Actually, Jesus talked about a whole lot more than that. The tithe almost lets us off easy compared to what Jesus expects of us. That God expects and deserves our all, even is the opening hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," comes to its closing. That even the whole world would not be enough. Nothing would be enough. All that we have belongs to God, and yet, while God wants our all, in our resources, God asks for that tenth, for that commitment, for the work of the kingdom. We do make that jump this Sunday, don't we? As we have that one eye on the Old Testament and all that has come before, and then the full reality that opens in our studies beginning next week. The one who at long last comes, burst upon the scene, and as John reminds us, so few recognized the one who was coming. This gift of God, this presence of God, God's self among us, living among us and pointing us in how to live in relationship with the Lord God. You may recall that as Jesus was walking along in Caesarea Philippi with the disciples, and I ask the question, who do people say that I am? The first response was, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're the forerunner. That you're the one who's going to point us towards the one who's pointing us towards this special champion of God, this Messiah, the one we expect and the one who's going to make us great again. And Jesus goes on, but who do you say? And these people had gotten it. Peter had gotten it. You're Messiah. You're the one. You are the one we've been waiting for. The one who will turn our hearts. The one who will teach us how to live in relationship with one another and in relationship with God. The one who will call us to unity. The one who will call us to life in the Spirit. The one who will prepare us for that day of judgment, that we not be among those who miss the boat, of those whose hearts and lives have not been changed, have not been transformed, have not been equipped and empowered to live with God and to live for God. I love that little snippet from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, in which you see a wise old knight sitting there. And then as the time comes in choosing the cup, he reminds him to choose wisely. We see the one person who chooses poorly and finds that that cup, rather than producing life, produces death, and that he chooses. And the one that Indiana Jones chooses is the one that brings restoration and life. As he reminds him, choose wisely. And the other guy had chosen poorly. Malachi is there calling us to choose wisely. That in our choices and in our decisions, that we choose to live in relationship with the Lord God and with our all, finding all that God has for us in the process, in our relationship with God through our Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love and your call upon our lives. Lord, we know that you have so much more for us than we receive. That you have promised blessing as we give unto you. That we cannot outgive you, and that you've reminded us that as we give, we will receive, and that we will receive a measure that is greater than we could even imagine or hope for. Gracious Lord, we thank you for all that you have for us in our relationship with you and one another. Help us to choose wisely. Help us to follow you more closely, to love you more dearly, and to see things much more clearly, literally, day by day. In Jesus' name we pray.